Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The shipping containers that come through the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach every year would wrap around the Earth two times if you laid them out end to end. Those containers are filled with electronics and clothing that are manufactured in places like Asia and then shipped to U.S. retailers so that you can buy them. But there is a dark side to this industry, according to an investigation by the USA Today Network. The drivers who bring those products to nearby rail yards or warehouses are signing lease-to-own contracts for their trucks that condemn them to modern-day indentured servitude. Reporter Brett Murphy has been investigating this. Brett, welcome.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Sure. So let's start by explaining how this works. These products are shipped in from around the world, and then these truckers are moving them really pretty short distances, right? What's the job?
Yeah, that's right. So they pretty much just get called from their dispatcher or texted, and they have a container that they need to go pick up from the pier. So they kind of wait in line. They pick up that container and they bring it to an address. It can be 5 miles. It can be 50 miles away. And then they come back and pick up another one. So it's kind of the first stop on the supply chain stateside.
And this is the port of Los Angeles, so it's incredibly busy.
And Long Beach, yeah. So those two ports combined make up the largest port in the Western Hemisphere. They bring in almost half of the imported goods in the whole country together. It's a huge amount of cargo coming in and out.
And so it sounds like the issue is that the trucking companies at these ports have been requiring these drivers to lease trucks from the employer themselves because of a law that California passed that was supposed to cut back on emissions. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So almost a decade ago, pretty much these guys showed up to work one day. Their bosses handed them a contract and said, your truck, the one you had been driving, this 2 million mile clunker on it, is going to be banned. It's banned from the ports now. You can't drive it anymore. So even though you are an independent contractor, we're going to give you this new truck contract. They didn't really explain any of them. They didn't let a lot of guys take it home to read. They didn't translate it. And 90% of these guys are immigrants. Most of them don't speak English at all. They didn't really know what they were getting into, but they were explained that they would own this thing one day. So they said it'll be a good deal. The pay will be better. Just sign here if you want to keep working. And these guys didn't really have a choice. If they take a day off, they don't feed their family that week. So it was kind of a take it or leave it deal, and they had to take it.
And so this is why you call it indentured servitude or a form of indentured servitude. Someone even in the piece referred to it as modern day sharecropping, because essentially these drivers can't afford the trucks. They have to work so much to make payments that some weeks, what, they make just a few cents or just a few bucks in their paychecks?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the companies knew these guys would never qualify for the financing themselves. These trucks cost $100,000. So the companies fronted the money and then passed through all of the payments right to the drivers. So that means it's the lease payments, it's the insurance, it's diesel, anything they really wanted. And at the end of the week, it can totally gouge their wages. So there are some weeks where guys won't break even and they'll actually owe their boss money. They'll owe them 60 bucks, 10 bucks. And every week they build more and more investment into this truck.
Well, what I find so fascinating about this is that it wasn't a secret necessarily, because in 2010, 7 years ago, the House Transportation Committee held a hearing on California's clean truck program. And these truck leases were a big part of the testimony. A port driver named Jose Covarrubias said families like his are forced to pay for cleaning up the air.
We are suffering. I lost my house, and my daughters have cut hours at college to work more and pitch in a home. On behalf of my fellow truck drivers and their families, I ask you to please fix the laws so the port truck companies can be finally held responsible for the trucks and their workers.
So this was on the radar for a long time, or it's been on the radar for a long time, and it sounds like the conditions for these drivers haven't really gotten much better. You've already mentioned that they've been forced to drive incredibly long hours, up to 16 hours in a day, which is far more than what the federal law allows. And if they complain, what, they're fired and then they lose their truck?
Yeah, so that's sort of where this indentured servitude idea comes in. Companies know that drivers don't really have an option to argue with them, to complain, to turn down an assignment, to go home. Because if they do that, they dangle this threat over them. You can't work tomorrow, or you can't work for a week if you don't do what I say. We met some guys who would come back into the lot after a full day, full double shift, so 16 hours out there. And the boss had actually locked the gates and said, you have to go back to the port. If you want to go home, then you're fired. Mm. And guys will just do it. And even after all that, even after 4 years and 11 months sometimes, guys were fired. Guys were fired for going to funerals, for complaining, for trying to get better pay. And when they get fired, they lose both the truck and everything they had paid into it. So that can be $50,000
or so. Yeah, and you say 4 years and 11 months because they may have been just a month away from paying off that lease and owning the truck outright. How often are the drivers ever able to do that so that they finish making those payments and then they own that truck themselves?
So that's something that the industry will bring up a lot. They would say, listen, a lot of our guys have been successful in paying off this lease and now they own the thing. So that tape we just heard from 2010, this was before really anyone had even had a shot to buying it. We found hundreds, though, that didn't. They were either fired or they were forced to quit, which some people call starving out of the truck. Mm. So there have been definitely guys who have been successful in paying it off and are happy with what happened. But we found several hundreds of instances of that not being the case.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from 2010. Congressman Gerald Nadler, a Democrat from New York, pressed Robert Diggs of the American Trucking Associations about this. Nadler made the point that a majority of these leases prohibit drivers from using the lease truck for more than one company.
If that is true, isn't this serfdom? You're an independent operator, but you can only work for one company. How are you in any sense an independent operator?
This is an important point because under the federal leasing rules, a motor carrier has to have exclusive use and possession and control of a truck during the period of the lease. That is designed to protect the public, to protect everyone.
So under the law, I just want to get that straight. Under the law, the company has to have exclusive control of the truck during the period of the lease?
That is correct.
So if I sign a lease for 5 years, I can only work for that company for 5 years?
You can break the lease and then you can go work for another company.
So, Brett, when you talked to the industry for this piece that just came out, what is the industry saying to you?
They say that, you know, listen, back in 2008, when these new clean air laws were coming out, we were in a rock and a hard place. We didn't know how to stay in business and how to let our drivers stay in business. It was kind of an existential crisis across the industry. They said this was the best way to make sure that the drivers kept their jobs and that we were able to stay in business. They couldn't take on the price of these new trucks themselves, and they couldn't charge more to their customers. It's such a hyper-competitive industry that they were afraid if they had to bump their prices. So if anybody plays by the rules, pretty much, that company is under threat of going under. It was kind of like the only thing they could do, they say.
Well, what about the question of the retailers, who are the ones who are selling these goods ultimately in their stores? You've got companies like Target, LG Electronics, Costco, Home Depot. I mean, you name a store in the United States, they may be using these truckers to get their goods to market. Are they taking note of this? Do they care?
They hadn't been really until we started kind of asking more questions about it. It was news to a lot of company spokespeople I talked to. Some had heard that there have been some labor disputes at the port, but they didn't really know too much. They don't hire these guys directly. It's contractors of subcontractors of subcontractors sometimes. It's this maze of different companies on their mm-hmm. supply chain. And they say, listen, we have this corporate responsibility. We have a code of conduct. We expect everyone to adhere by the law, but it's not our role to step in there and make sure they're doing it.
Well, you know, this is also an issue for other industries, right? Uber's car leasing program has been criticized for similar reasons as a modern form of sharecropping. And there's also this trend of classifying employees as independent contractors, which some would argue gives employers leeway in the way that they're legally required to treat the people who work for them. Did comparisons with other industries come into your reporting?
For a lot of reasons, that comparison doesn't hold too much water because it still hasn't really been decided in a lot of court levels whether or not Uber drivers are employees or independent contractors. It's been decided in over 97% of port trucking cases that these guys are employees. They deserve the rights and protections of employees. It's without a doubt. And what else is different about Uber drivers and port drivers? Port truck drivers can't just walk away when the going gets really tough like an Uber driver could. That's the trick with these contracts and with these trucks. They end up pouring so much of their life savings into this thing. To walk away could mean leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table. So they really have no option but to keep working even if the conditions are more and more brutal.
Hmm. That's Brett Murphy, the reporter who wrote this investigation for the USA Today Network. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. Brett, thank you for your reporting.
Thank you so much.